This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good morning. It's Friday. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Triple in for Tiffany. We got Mike Johnson.
Yo!
Squid's spending the weekend with a bunch of sweaty men.
Yeah. And enjoying it, too.
Enjoying it.
You know what I mean? Belly to belly.
Sweaty men's.
Yeah, man. He shot me a couple texts yesterday. Seems like he's having a pretty good time. So, look, he often has theorized and wondered to me how many times he would get to play golf in the coming months with him welcoming a child at some point in early April. And I, you know, look, I've got two, so it's a little bit different for me, but I gave up golf for the most part. So, but, you know, Bo's, look, man, he's got his men's golf league, his country club, everything else. So I'm sure he'll find a way to get out there. Depending on what his child care looks like, I guess.
Yeah, what's Tiffany working this weekend, do you know?
She's working the, I guess it's Conference USA Kennesaw. I can't remember what Kennesaw is in, but it's the conference tournament that Kennesaw is in that she is she's working. So, yeah, man, she's getting done a lot of college basketball for Tiff over the last couple of weeks, man. She's been going to these tournaments and different things. I think she was out she got a chance to interview Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out at the UCLA game a couple of weeks ago, and she's had a couple of different tournaments, man. So I'm sure she'll continue down.
I think
that
she learned to sit down when you interview NBA guys.
Yeah, it's definitely look, man. I've never felt so small. A few years, say 6 years ago, or whenever it was, they retired Dikembe Mutombo's number with the Atlanta Hawks.
Covered him.
It was so funny because they put stools, like bar stools, out in the court for it, and his feet were flat on the ground.
That's what they do, man.
So walking up next to him at in, you know, back wherever he was at in the club back there, the suite or whatever, I've never felt so small. Never.
I think it was Malcolm Mackey. Played at Georgia Tech, briefly played in the NBA. Did a show with him here. His shoulders were just massively, and he's 6'9".
Yeah.
And you just you think NBA players are like skinny, tall dudes? No, not all of them. They're just massive human beings.
But the thing is, like, proportionally, NBA players are skinny, tall dudes.
Yeah.
But you get to a point where you're like, when the dude's 7 foot, doesn't matter if he's proportionally you know, skinny dude. Like, his shoulders are still 5 foot wide. I remember seeing it. We talked about D'Angelo Russell yesterday. Man, I saw D'Angelo Russell when he was in town playing the Hawks a few years ago, and I remember him checking into the scorer's table like 5 feet away from me, and I was like, that's the biggest human being I've ever seen. Like, how does that guy even get in cars? You know what I mean? Like, that was my first thing. Like, how does that guy, you know, if you're like ordering an Uber, you have to like straight up XL every time.
It's like Herman Munster in a convertible.
And I'm not a small person, but dude, that guy, that's a whole nother level of size when you talk about some of those fellas, man. Those are some big dudes.
Oh, we got a little homecoming night. Bogey's coming back to town.
That'd be interesting, right?
Yep. He scored 30 the other night when the Clippers beat the Heat. Where was that with the Hawks?
Dude, he was brutal this year with the Hawks.
I think the Olympics took it all out of him, I think.
Maybe
he played so well during the Olympics. And I think
he really did. And you know what's funny? You know, I think we were just And the guys maybe behind the glass can help me with this. We were just on air, I think, when Bogey signed like an $85 million extension less than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, celebratory.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's always been that sixth man of the year candidate. I don't remember what he was making per year, but you were like, oh, Bogey's going to be here until he retires.
Right. It felt good. And it was like you said, Bogey had – We obviously knew what Bogey could do. It was like, yeah, sign me up. I'm here for it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, but then he's always like, you'll play two games and it'll be out three. Back spasms or, you know, oh, he's got a sore quad or there's always something with
it. And then like you guys talked about it, it was so unfortunate because we were so hyped up, at least I was, during watching the Olympics, like, oh, yeah, if this is the Bogey we're going to get this year, man. So yeah. I'm
Bring
ready.
That Euro
Bring
ball,
it on.
Baby.
Yeah.
Bring in that Euro ball. I'm ready.
And then, like, Rob, to your point, I think the Olympics took more out of him than maybe he realized it was going to. So
that's what I think they should do with the All-Star game, man. Make it international. Make it and play overseas.
Try to play off the NHL.
Yeah.
Try to play off the
and
NHL.
And play a game overseas every other year. Have you seen the crowds over there for those games?
Oh, yeah. They're crazy.
Nuts,
it's like a college football game.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts. And then bring it back here. Let's gin up some geopolitical hatred, man. Let's do it.
Let's get some international social interactions to really throw things off the rails. I do have an interesting topic about this that somebody brought up to me yesterday, and I honestly didn't know the answer to this. And I'm sure we'll get into Cooper Flagg at some point in the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to jump ahead too much, but since we're talking about the Hawks a little bit, somebody asked me, given what you already know about Zachary Risacher and his, you know, what he's really done, and I'm going to say the last 40 games, just kind of theorizing, do you think that you would still take Cooper Flagg number one overall, even knowing that Zachary Risacher, what he has developed into and what, you know, he has kind of grown into? Like, you know that you right at this point, you know you have a solid player in Zachary Risacher. Do we think he's going to be a superstar? Who knows at this point?
Probably not, but he's not going to be a generational
right
number one. But he's he's already very good.
So if Cooper Flagg, if you know, knowing what you know about Cooper Flagg right now, if he was in last year's draft and you could go back, would you take Cooper Flagg number one overall?
I would.
Oh, yeah.
I think you have to.
You got to. Like, you can't pass up on a Cooper Flagg, man.
That's the depressing thing about it. You know, and, like, I'm stoked about Zachary Risacher. Like, stoked. And he did. I mean, it was the first 3 weeks. They're trying to find their rotation with DeAndre Hunter. He's trying to find a shot. He's been cold the last, like, 40 games, like I said. But even all of that being said, I'm watching, you know, before Cooper Flagg rolls the ankle yesterday, I'm watching him going, this dude's a little bit different, man.
Oh,
like,
he hits a little different.
That's crazy. Right when you talked about him rolling the ankle up there on the ESPN.
There it is. On the screen right there. It was unfortunate, obviously, for a number of reasons yesterday. But, man, last year was just one of those weird years. And I feel like that's what NFL teams feel about the quarterback position this year, where they're like, man, last year was such an awesome year.
Yeah,
next year could be an awesome year. And it was like this year's quarterback class, meh. That's why we have all the news about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and, you know, maybe Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones and everything else, because – it just feels like this one's a little bit shallow.
And Geno Smith. Don't hate on Geno.
And Sam Darnold. I did see, and we'll get into this a little bit later in the show, I did see a mock, and I have not seen this yet. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. I saw a mock from one of the guys at CBS Sports this morning that had Jackson Dart as the second quarterback taken, going to the Steelers in the early 20s. And
well, I already helped himself, combine, everything else.
I think he did, but the bigger story is that Shadur had fallen to late first round.
Yeah.
And I think that's very interesting. But at the same time, I saw a mock yesterday that had Shadur going to the Saints, and I was like, huh, that'd be – really interesting, to see that as well. Definitely, I think we're 6 weeks out, almost exactly, from knowing, you know, what the
6 weeks to yesterday.
6 weeks to yesterday, knowing what the first round of the draft is going to look like. So we'll have a lot of those answers, but I'm sure that that's something that we'll mull over for the next 6 weeks for sure, man. So
let's open up the front page, shall we? This segment brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We don't open up the front page. The front page is there. Then you open it up. That was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you just got to fold out the bottom part. You know what I mean?
When's the last time you actually physically held a newspaper? So I miss those. I can still do that occasionally, but I miss those days.
I do. I will say, like, as far as, like, an AJC, it's been years. We do get the free version of, like, the Sandy Springs Reporter throwing on our driveway.
With some hard-hitting journalism there.
I'll open that thing up every now and then.
What's their sports section like?
Journalism. Oh, sorry. I was a little late. Oh,
wrong show.
Handle it. What? Oh, yeah. No, I don't. The sports section pretty much non-existent, other than a couple of high school highlights that happen around there.
The corned beef and cabbage I had last night was divine.
Goldbergs went and got you a Reuben. Yeah, man. No, I don't know. Last time I actually opened a front page, years.
Me too.
Since I've done that, man. It's kind of sad, honestly.
It's like, you know, wake up on a Sunday morning, pour me a big glass of bourbon, and open up the
paper. some bourbon and Cheerios.
Yes.
And
yes.
Do my crossword.
Oh, yeah, you talk about Cooper Flagg. John Shire says he's basically a long shot for tonight's semifinal game against North Carolina.
Yeah, they were theorizing this during the game yesterday as they're showing him being wheeled back to the x-ray in the thing. I mean, it's like, you know, it's not quite Paul Pierce, but you're sitting there going, oh, okay.
Not as dramatic, right?
Right. But you know, I've actually been in that situation one time. We were playing in the Sugar Bowl, and I got rolled up, and they were, like, you know, wheeling me back to the...
Did Arthur Blank push you back out?
No, it was the... No. Arthur wasn't around at that point. I don't even remember who the AD was at Bama at the time. I guess it was Mal Moore. But, yeah, you know, you go back and get the x-ray. I got the x-rays in the Superdome, and they're kind of like, you know, you're out on the sideline on your crutches, and you're like, man, we're getting the crap beat out of us. It's not good. So,
which game was this?
We played Utah in 08.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, you got
that game.
Y'all got you were just interested, weren't you?
You know what's – and not to go down from the tangent, but what people don't realize, we were not a passing team. We ran the ball a lot. Our left tackle, who won the Outland, did not play in that game.
Well, that's
– So they moved me to left tackle, and I got rolled up on the eighth play of the game.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, it was like that whole running game we had the whole year.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Not against Utah, who literally on that side of the line had three
draft picks. So you're down to your third.
Yeah, Paul Kruger, who played for the Browns, was over there. Coa Macy, a second-round draft
pick.
But
they're young and not quite ready for the
Yeah, it was like this is not going to turn out well. We kind of just, you know, based our entire existence off the run game until you're missing, you know, two starting linemen on the left side of your line of scrimmage. And, yeah, and Utah was really, really good. So you got to give them credit as well.
Atlanta United back in action, what is it, Sunday night in Miami against Messi and Miami team. It is here. It is here, my bad.
Yeah.
I guess you got to score, right? There you go. You score three goals first game, and then you've just kind of been diminishing.
Yeah,
they're still
bad.
Trying to conjure some chemistry, though, between Latte and Miggy and, you know.
They did, and we talked about it a little bit coming off the game last weekend. They looked disinterested's not the right word.
Yeah.
It looked like they were confused as to what their roles needed to be at any given time. And I'd have to go back and, you know, look at some of the comments I had from Monday, but it was just your heat map, you know, as far as where you actually held on to the ball is just all midfield. Like, yeah, I mean, you're just literally kicking it back and forth along the midfield line and just hoping somebody can get creative.
Was that a testament of the Red Bulls defense, so maybe kind of keeping you off the wings where you can use your speed, maybe?
I think it just simply, it's not even a Red Bulls defense. I think just when you play an away game, you're looking for a tie in the MLS. You know what I mean? Like, if you can win your home games and tie on the road, then you're in a good spot. And I think that, well, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, that's what you're going to get most of the time when people come to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You know, people kind of parking the bus, as they call it, and, you know, not allowing you to play forward. And that's why it becomes difficult, especially when you haven't known your teammates more than just a few weeks, which that's what's going on with Atlanta United right now.
All right, Hawks and Clippers tonight at State Farm Arena. Clippers coming off a win in Miami, as we mentioned earlier, with Bogey coming home after scoring 30 the other night. I don't know if Kawhi's playing or not. Is Ben Simmons going to play? I don't know.
Yeah.
Simmons is out. Well, imagine that.
I was going to say.
Boy, about going to the bank with a mask and a gun, basically, is what he's been doing.
Really has. I mean, he's not, you know, Zion's not quite that status, but I know there's been conversations about him as well. Yeah, I mean, I think the Hawks, look, just keep it rolling. You've won four in a row. See if you can make it five. Like we talked about yesterday, I don't know that you can make it to the sixth seed. I don't know that you have time left. But, again, I have made the argument all along that the next – whatever it is, 18 games you have left are more important in these 18 games than the actual playoff run in terms of what you're going to have next season.
Yeah.
Right? So figure out what you got.
Young team trying to figure it out, and you got to figure out what you're going to do with Trey in the offseason.
You got to figure out what you're going to do with Caris LeVert. Like, there's a couple of things that, you know, pieces to be moved around, and then, you know, look, build something, and then eventually you'll get, you know, Jalen back healthy, and maybe you can make something out of Kobe Bufkin on the offensive end before next year and hit the ground running next season. I'm not giving this season. Look, don't get it misconstrued. I'm not giving this season away, but I want to see the Hawks play well over the next few weeks stretch before you even get to the playoffs, is what I'm saying.
Well, they're a fun team to watch. I'm telling you, they showed me everything. clearly no title, no deep playoff run. That game in New York about a month and a half ago, 6 weeks ago, they're down what? What were they down, like 8 points with that 18 seconds left, force overtime?
Yeah.
There's a little constitution that I like about this team. Now I can supplement it with some bodies, and let's see what happens next year.
I love this version of Trey.
Yeah.
Bo calls him Bearded Trey because he's got the beard now. He looks older. But, man, he's just such a matured veteran version of Trey that we're getting right
the
now.
The maturity has been pretty drastic, I think.
It's a seasoned version of Trey Young is what I keep calling him, man. He's just seasoned. He's ready to go. I love it.
All right, we got Graham McCauley at 8:20 this morning, and I've got questions.
Same.
A lot of questions. But coming up next, what price is worth it for Trey Hendrickson? Any other things looming on the horizon for the Atlanta Falcons? It seems like the Bears and everybody else are doing a lot of things to help themselves, but Falcons, not real sexy so far. That's coming up next in the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 1990.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again. This song always makes me think of the great Pirates closer, Kent Tekulve, the side armor. He was known as the rubber band man.
What?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I got you. Okay. All right. I'm sitting here going, what? Who? What?
I'm
going
to show my youth here. The first time I heard this song was on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow. I used to hear it at the skating rink.
I'm going to show my age and tell you I've never seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I like that whole realm of superhero movies.
MCU?
Bro,
you got to get into it, bro.
Wade's
worth it. It's worth it.
And look, my plan is, because I'm not like against it. It's not like I'm sitting here going, no, it's a waste of time. I just never ventured there. I'm not like a Star Wars guy. Yeah. I never saw Harry Potter. Never saw Lord of the Rings.
You never saw Harry Potter?
Nah.
What?
Yeah, I just, nah.
That's demonic. Witchcrafty stuff. Demonic.
It's funny.
Cast out the demons.
The whole MCU thing. I've seen like straight up like Iron Man 2.
That's it.
That's about it.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Maybe
seen any of the Avengers movies?
Thor? No.
Yeah, Thor, yeah.
Is that considered an Avenger movie?
No. Okay, Avengers have their own movies.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
In the MCU, obviously, but.
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. But my theory now is that, you know, one of these days when my son is old enough, we'll hop on the Disney Plus and we'll do the whole gauntlet together. You know what I mean? Daughter, maybe, I don't know.
That's actually a nice journey because it'll take you a while.
Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean?
Especially depending on like when you start it, like, because there's going to be stuff.
Meet me on the couch every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, kid.
Hey, that'll be a great tradition for some years.
Not a big
because it'll take you some years.
You back that one up with Harry Potter, we'll be there until he's 15.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
So. Not a big sci-fi guy myself. I like violent rom-coms.
Give me an example.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I don't know.
I'm just picturing rom-coms. Like, you know, Russell Crowe and Jennifer Aniston. Just there's like a back love story to Olympus Has Fallen or something.
You know, I brought up the skating rink. That was one of my biggest childhood traumas. I was like probably 11 years old. And I met this girl.
Yes.
And I was kissing this girl.
Oh, but at 11?
Yeah. But this, I was 12. But this girl I knew and went to school with, she was there. And she went and told all the girls at my school that I looked stupid kissing.
Oh.
Devastating.
That's detrimental at 12 years old, dude.
Oh, man.
Like,
everybody crestfallen.
If you're listening right now, take yourself back to your mind frame at 12 years old.
Lisa Nunn, if you're out there.
Yeah.
How dare you say
that? And at that age, something like that coming out, I mean, you lose all credibility.
Man.
And it's hard to get it back.
Oh, but I reestablished it.
I was going to say, it doesn't seem like Rob took long to get it back, though.
I was going to say, you know, what's funny is you might look stupid. There can be worse things that were said in that moment, you know, like his
I was
his
pretty tongue, devastating, you know, though, man.
Like his wow. breath stinks or his tongue is weird or something, you know what I mean? Like
or C, both A and B. Look stupid kissing.
Oh, man.
Hey, Hawks and Clippers tonight, by the way. Atlanta Dang. United. Messi, he's not going to be load management not play on Sunday, is he?
But you know what's and Mike Conte's been tweeting about this because they had a game last night. Is it with Champions League or whatever else they have going on right now? And he actually played, scored a goal, but I don't know that he – There was one of their players that left with an injury, and they subbed him out. And so everybody's been keeping an eye on that because Miami has played a lot because they're involved in the Champions League and things like that going on. So, be curious to see how that all rolls out. But I would expect that he at least gets some minutes. And I was in the house for the playoff game last year where he played and played the whole 90. So it's definitely an experience watching that guy play.
They're going to put his face on currency.
He might just buy his own country for the amount of money he's making.
Just crazy,
yeah,
dude.
Just look, man. Just go ahead and buy your own island and, you know, call it the Island of Messi and just move on.
Well, Storm Norton and Brandon Parker are not going to be able to have their own island, but hey, they've re-signed.
Yeah, and look, I get a ton of questions about these kind of guys. This is kind of the role I played when I was here, right? And you know, being able to be one of these
rotational afterthought,
right? Exactly. No, precisely. Hey, you know, just under the radar. It's not like you're signing back a 5-year starter. You're signing back Storm Norton, who has started a handful of games for the Atlanta Falcons, and is a good swing tackle. I don't know what they really think of him as a left.
Yeah.
But you've seen him play for Caleb McGarry, and that's where I think the corresponding moves that Brandon Parker has signed back. You know, former very high draft pick and a guy that can do some things. I think they probably, if they had needed a long-term solution at left tackle, that's probably where they would go. But Storm Norton, very, very capable on the right side of that offensive line. Probably a little uptick from Caleb McGarry in the passing game, but just not quite what Caleb is in the run game. And but you love to have him back. Love the fact that he's re-signed. You know, a couple of years ago, the Falcons were really hard up trying to find the swing tackle role.
Yeah.
Ran through a couple of different guys and plugged a couple of different pieces in, and then you brought in Storm Norton, and he's kind of stuck since then. So he's a good piece to have kind of in your back pocket in case anything goes south.
Is it an attractive option to maybe bring home David Andrews? Coming off the shoulder, I know. And he's not sure. He says, I'm going to go to you. I'm going to try to play another year, but, you know, I'll go to OTAs, and I'll know whether or not I still have it.
Well, I know that, you know, he's a Georgian native.
Yeah, went to Wesleyan.
Has property up you know, up near Rome, and obviously I grew up a Falcons fan, so, you know, knows everything about the franchise. I don't know that the fit is there for him.
Right.
Here's the thing, and here's why I really struggle with this conversation. I wish the fit was there for him because I wish that the offense would change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we would utilize more back blocks with the centers and pulling guards and things like that, but we don't. I'm forgetting the guy's name off the top of my head. The Vikings yesterday announced that they would be seeking a trade partner for their center. They brought in Ryan Kelly from Indianapolis, and the guy that, you know, that they have had start at center seems to be on the outs with them. Now, that's a little bit different. That guy is somebody that I could see the Falcons possibly targeting in one of these situations and saying, hey, he's athletic. You know, Dave Andrews is a great offensive lineman. He doesn't really fit, I don't think, a wide zone scheme, just more of a powerful north and south scheme. And so I don't think that would be an option. But, again, I wish the Falcons would get him and tailor a little bit to him, because I think that we could do some different things with a guy like that in the middle. And obviously, God knows football.
But what a story, though. Undrafted, started week one as a rookie, being undrafted. Couple Super Bowls, 10 years up there in New England.
Yeah.
So he will never have to buy a drink or a meal up there in Boston.
Yeah, and they already said that, you know, when he does hang him up, they'll have a ceremony for him. I don't know that he Patriots Ring of Honor or whatever they call it, but he's definitely one of those guys that couple Super Bowl rings, and what an incredible run for what the outlook was for him. Proved the doubters wrong and was able to make a great career as a captain of the Patriots.
Apparently, he was such an afterthought that Bill Belichick was the only coach that worked him out.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's nuts.
And look, I don't know what the timeline looks like, but Dante Scarnecchia, who's Hall of Fame offensive line coach, was there for him at least the first part of his career and did a great job developing him, as they have with so many other people. I mean, you go all the way back to like Matt Light and some of the other pieces they've had on that offensive line. Pretty incredible what they've been able to do up there up until very recently.
Well, the sexiest thing out there for the Falcons, Trey Hendrickson. The Bengals won a first-round pick. People expressing just it's a horrible thought to offer up a first-round pick for him.
Well, he's
30, but,
I think that the way I look at it.
Am I naive
right
on that? I it's a no-brainer for me, but then again, I'm not working in a front office.
It's not so much about whether or not we think the first-round pick is a value, and obviously the Bengals do, but let's go back a couple of years. Khalil Mack was traded from the Bears to the Chargers, right?
Yep.
And Khalil Mack's value in that one, I believe, was a second round pick. And he was still under contract. Like, there was no extension in the works for Khalil Mack. He's still under contract. I believe they sent him and a sixth for a second rounder back. Trey Henderson's due a massive extension. And so when you pair that with the possibility of a first rounder, that's where it becomes hard to stomach. And, I theorize, and it's written down on here, I theorized with Dylan this morning, if they asked you to pay exactly what was asked of DK Metcalf, is that okay for you? DK Metcalf was traded in exchange for a second-round pick, which is 52 overall, and a sixth-round pick, and the Steelers got back a seventh-rounder with DK Metcalf. And remember, he signed a deal for $30 million a year. So I would say no on the first-rounder at this point. And I would say if you are going to get exactly what happened with DK Metcalf, sign me up. 10 times out of 10, I think that I would be able to do that. Now, the Falcons don't have a sixth rounder, to be able to package up with that, but they do have 2 seventh rounders this year. But again, draft picks are so valuable, it seems, to this front office, this administration, that, I don't know where to go with that. But first rounder next year might be more palatable for me. Just because of how thin you are with your draft picks.
And the urgency of this year because of what? I mean, you don't have a third rounder, you don't have a fifth rounder.
And the problem is, or maybe it's not a problem, depends on how you view it, is we talk so much about windows. And all the teams that we're talking about right now that are signing guys to big contracts and big extensions, and we're talking about rookie quarterbacks. We're talking about Caleb Williams. We're talking about Jaden Daniels. We're talking about the Commanders, the Bears. Whoever else, Denver, whoever else has a rookie quarterback under a rookie contract, that window will open up for us next season, right? And so when you look at it from that aspect, does that make you less likely to want to trade a 2026 first rounder? I don't know. But it's definitely something to keep in the back of your mind, because this thing is you're about to slingshot engage with this thing, I think, at least next offseason. And so I think there's still something coming, and if Trey Hendrickson's the move, then so be it. And look, no matter what they pay for him, the city's going to celebrate if he's here.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? You're not going to say, overpaid for him with the first instead of the second. No. Now, you might look back in hindsight and go, man, phew, that was a little steep.
When you're desperate for a position, look at the Steelers' DK Metcalf. When you're desperate for a position, exactly. You're going to overpay.
Exactly. Exactly. And I brought this up multiple times this week. He is a player that did not go to a Pro Bowl for his first 4 years and actually developed. Mm. And what can he do with a group of defensive linemen that are young and that need to be developed? Is there a roadmap there? Hey, this is how I did it. I played for multiple franchises, and I developed myself into a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro. Here's the roadmap for that. And I think that could change your fortunes at that position.
Why are the Bengals falling into that trap where you just overemphasize the receiver position at the expense of everything else? You see it never works. And I know what Joe Burrow wants. He wants his shiny toys and how great Joe Burrow played last year and understanding. But, wow.
Yeah. I don't have a good answer for that, man. It doesn't seem like, you know, when you look at the Bills – not really emphasizing the wide receiver position for a number of years, although they did sign Khalil Shakir to an extension. I don't know, man. I don't know. It just everybody, every front office has where they hold value at, has the parts of their offense, the parts of their team where they hold value, and that just seems to be where theirs are at. They don't want to break up things for Joe Burrow in the prime of his career and want to make sure that offense continues to be explosive. So,
oh, we have former teammate on former teammate crime. Shots being fired. I love stuff like this. I love petty grievances. I live for them. It's a morning shift. Triple in for Tiffany. It's just Mike and me as Squid is out of town with a bunch of men. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the morning shift. Sports Radio 99 The Game. No Squid Billy. He's having a homoerotic weekend with a bunch of men. Sweaty men on the golf course.
Just want to show for the record to show that that's Rob Dribble. I want the record to show.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
No, man. You got to do what you got to do.
Hey, man. Love who you love. It's all good.
Yes. And Squid Billy, he's, I could go a million different directions. Not going to.
Hey, you know what it is? More importantly, what is today? What is today? It is Fair or Foul Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. That'll be coming up in about an hour. Dylan will be hosting me and you kind of in a combative role, if you will.
Step into
the middle of the Coliseum.
I'm not as combative. I can stand on my own opinions. I can articulate opinion, but I don't have to sit there and sternum poke and browbeat.
That is abnormal considering what I'm used to working with.
I know.
Squid can be a little bit confrontational.
He's a rabid little chihuahua.
He is. Know? He's got it. And look, man, let's just be honest. There's a little Napoleon going on there.
Oh, yeah, you think?
But we love him, man. You know, it's just, you know, Squid is unapologetically who he is. That's what I love about
Napoleon
the guy.
Wasn't as short as you think, though. I think he's like 5'8".
Yeah, I mean, well,
that's
spot on, right? Kind of what we're
talking about. Yeah, but everybody thinks he was
like 5'2". Yeah.
Now, see, this is not right. 5'2", he was not 5'2". I've always heard he was taller than that.
I don't know. 5'2" is, I think, what the general consensus is. But I think you have to be you have to be unusually short to have the entire syndrome named.
Well, he weighed 169 pounds, too. But he ran a 4.9.
What was his hand size?
Oh, tiny. Tiny hands.
Could he separate
tiny
with
little
his arm?
Doll
like?
Hands is what he had.
What did Bo call it? The standing high jump, not the vertical.
He had a nice bubble though. Nice bubble. Napoleon did.
Look, man. Before we get into the Cowboys stuff, I'm going on a run later today.
What are you running from?
Yeah, well,
I run when chased.
I guess from being fat, but nonetheless, it was so funny because I was kind of talking to myself about it yesterday. I'm like, I'll throw on the sneakers, gonna go down by the river and have a run, and I was like, it's been probably 3 years since I've gone for a run, like did a lot of walking and stuff. And I honestly, I didn't forget how to run, but I forgot how to go for a run. I was like, what am I supposed to do with my phone? Do I put that in my pocket? You know what I mean? Like, how do I hydrate myself? Do I carry a bottle of water?
Or
do
you're
I have
making
a
it
pack?
Way too much, man. You're turning
right? I'm just doing too much.
It's not the D-Day invasion.
Just take off and go, right?
Yeah, just go.
Yeah, you don't have to I don't have
you
to
got
wear
the dog with you, right?
As long as I've got my insoles and my shoes and my dog with me, I think I'll be fine.
Did you have good running shoes, solid?
Yeah, well, it's different for me because I genuinely mean this when I say I can't really throw curveballs at my feet. Has to stay consistent. Takes about 3 days
to
adjust.
Well, you've had feet issues.
Yeah, it takes about 3 days to adjust when I start a new pair of shoes. I just wear – that's why I have a lot of pairs of the same pair of shoes. And I have you rotate them. You're like, these are for yard work. These are my nice shoes. But they're all the same pair of shoes. Like, you know, these are my running shoes. These are my playing with the kids shoes. These are my have a few beers at the brewery shoes. Yeah.
I'm starting to let myself, I haven't worked out in a while. I'm starting to let myself go a little bit.
It's that time of year, man.
I mean, when you get out of the shower and you're disgusted with yourself. Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And a lot of times, I don't know if you're a night shower or not, but sometimes for me, it's like, you know, just eat a plate of like 20 chicken wings and you get out of the shower and you're like, Jesus, what was that? That was one too many calories.
Well, my diet sucks for one. And I've gotten up to like, I think I'm weighing like 212. I'm 205.
Yeah.
That's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm not as lithe and sinewy as I pride myself on normally being.
I checked back in the other day. Yeah, and this is a hard career path, I guess, to really keep weight off. But, yeah, man, I'm going for a run later today. Hopefully the weather holds off. I know it's supposed to get nasty this weekend. So we'll see what happens, man. See how far I make it. Maybe, trying to do like a couple miles at least, right? See how long the dog can make it.
Got to go walk, to the point run, just move, man. Just move.
You got to go to the point where the dog is like still able to get back to the car. You know what I mean? Like, you know, can't, he's like 80 pounds. I don't want him to get a mile away from the car and be like, nah, man,
I quit. Big dog.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
Like a linebacker type, sideline to sideline? Or
yeah, he's an edge setter. You know what I mean? He's let's see. Who would he be like? He's Zach Harrison. You know what I mean? He's got some length, but also, you know, look, man, he'll put a shoulder into you. Big boy.
A dog's like a squatty, friendly fullback, would it be? Oh, don't you love it? Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, they're beefing. Of course, DeMarcus Lawrence leaving the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones, I mean, we know what Jerry Jones is. He doesn't like signing free agents. And what does he do? He delays extending his existing players, too, so yeah. That's why they're kind of in the fix they're in.
Micah Parsons will get his money at some point, for sure.
So they're beefing, of course. And what was the quote exactly? Well, we have that quote, don't we? Let's hear from DeMarcus Lawrence.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So we here.
Wow.
Where are the lies?
Wow.
Is he lying or is he truthing? He's truthing. You're not going to win one.
I know, but man. Okay, follow me here. I don't like it. And from the simple fact that you just threw all your old boys under the bus. You know what I mean? Like you were, I don't know if he's a team captain or not. I'm assuming he probably was. But you're telling me you bounce, you got like a new crew. It's like group of friends. You have like multiple group of friends, and one day one of them invites you over to the Beltline, and you bump into your bar crew. They just happen to be on the Beltline that day, and you kind of look at them like, not hanging. I'm with my Beltline crew today.
But I'm thinking if you're wearing a cowboy uniform right now, he's like, well, he's kind of right.
No, well,
come on.
I don't know. Like you might say that in the back of your head, but we went on this tangent yesterday and really throughout this week about Kirk Cousins being welcomed back in the locker room. I've made the point all along that Kirk Cousins will be welcomed back by his teammates with open arms. He didn't do anything that would harm his teammates.
It was self-preservation, individual basis,
right? He didn't go at his teammates. He just simply said, yeah, I got rocked and I didn't feel great. And there's nothing in that to me that says he won't be welcomed back in the locker room. This, on the other hand, is a verbal jab at that team at that franchise and at its players saying, yeah, that team's not going anywhere. So I would say there probably are not any lies. But if I'm here's the other half of this. If I'm like Micah Parsons, who obviously was very irritated by this, I know we've got that quote to get to. Do you really look at Seattle and you're like, oh, yeah, bro, you're getting the ring there soon. Sam Darnold, you know what I mean? Like, you're just looking at it going, okay. Like, you think I'm worried about DeMarcus Lawrence and Sam Darnold up there with Jackson Smith and Jigba that you're going to win a ring anytime soon? Like, I get it. I get the jab, and I get, you know, firing up Seattle fans and whatever else DeMarcus Lawrence is trying to do. But I don't know, man. Kind of rubbed me the wrong way, personally. I don't mind. I don't mind Micah Parsons being upset about it.
Yeah, and this is what he said, Micah Parsons, on Twitter. Quote, this is what rejection and envy look like. This some clown feces.
Now, do I blame him for saying that? No.
Well, calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left.
Here's the thing.
Oh, wow. This sounds like a couple breaking up.
Is that what DeMarcus Lawrence says back?
Yes.
Yes! Love little cowboy beef. I love it, man. I love it. I love a little of that beef.
Too bad they're not playing each other this year.
It's just, you just don't see this often from guys in the same position group. That's what's crazy about it. Like, you'll see every now and then a wide receiver go after a D lineman or something. You know what I mean? And, like, it different. Like, usually guys that are in the same position group, though, that are
that's
trying to
That's an intimate relationship. You're in the classroom together.
You're, man. Like, you're usually boys. Like, you usually don't see. Like, you would never in the history of the NFL, I can't even think one. I'm sure there is. But offensive linemen going after other offensive linemen about their playing careers is, like, non-existent. Like, just, like, you know that this job is hard. This job sucks a lot of the time. Why would I ever make it more miserable and try to trash talk? I don't blame Micah Parsons for feeling a certain way. DeMarcus Lawrence going out there and saying that, man, it's a slap in the face, I think, to his old teammates.
I will side with Micah Parsons on this.
He burned a little bit of a bridge there.
You napalmed it.
He wasn't scared at all. And evidently, he ain't worried about it either. Back going, yeah, man, hey, maybe you shouldn't tweet. I mean, just like, yeah. I'm surprised he stopped short of saying your big contract's the reason I couldn't stay there anymore. The $35 million a year you're about to ask is the reason they didn't have money for me, buddy.
You can't get to the quarterback because your wallet's going to weigh you down, right?
Yeah, you know, and it does bring up another question and conversation. Micah Parsons has his podcast, and this is a new thing in the last few years where active athletes engage in podcasting. And it's different. You'd have to go to media, see quotes in the newspaper or whatever to get things like this. And now podcasting and digital is such a big part. And you see guys from the NBA do it all the time.
Well, Paul George, is getting a lot of heat for that.
He hung his up, I believe. I think he stopped because of the issues he's having on the court. He's like, I don't need it. It's a bad look to do podcasts right now. Micah Parsons is like, no, he just doubled down. He just went full throttle. He's like, yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I'm doing me. I'm getting my sacks.
I'm going to broadcast 5 hours a day now.
I'm a defensive player of the year candidate. But it is interesting, too. I mean, you see the same thing with Travis Kelce.
My God, those guys are so overexposed.
They're oversaturated.
They're getting on my
And it's not even their fault. I don't blame them. But people keep paying them to do stuff.
I understand. But I don't need to. I am less annoyed seeing Kevin Hart everywhere now than I am the Kelce boys, pretty much.
Kevin Hart is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Well, I was going to say, and this is an interesting topic, too. Matthew Stafford's wife has a podcast, and that one's made news over and over and over again.
Well, she's always chirping about something.
She's like, you know, we're looking at houses in other places, or, you know, just like there's always something about, you know, we didn't expect this or we didn't like that. And it's different, man. You get all this exposure, and when something newsworthy happens from a guy like Micah Parsons, where he's jawing back and forth, think it's kind of funny to kind of follow along. I don't blame him in this instance. I don't think this is his fault. But when you do look at the entire situation, obviously there's going to be a set of crosshairs on the entire conversation.
Well, you leave yourself open to all sorts of scrutiny and criticism if you're constantly airing every thought you have when you have it.
Draymond Green's podcast. I mean, clown. There's a bunch of them, man. There's a bunch of them out there where, and it's always to me the ones that just love talking.
I mean. My favorite though, the old NBA heads. So Jeff Teague is legit hilarious.
Yes. Who's the guy that Mad Max that's been kind of going viral? Max. We were talking about this yesterday with somebody else. Maybe it was Rusty. And the guy Mad Max has been going viral. Maybe he is on Jeff Teague's podcast. I don't know. But they've been talking about like when Hakeem Olajuwon slapped him one time in the locker room.
Oh, that was Vernon Maxwell. Yeah, it's Vernon Maxwell. That's right. He slapped the hell out of him.
Mad Max. Yeah, Vernon Maxwell. Yeah,
and Vernon Maxwell
was
legit crazy.
And he just straight like he was so funny about it. He just was like, yeah, I mean, what are you gonna do? Yeah, Hakeem Olajuwon just slapped me.
I saw that. That was hilarious.
So good, dude. Anyways.
All right, like I said, Fairfell Friday, we got Grant McCauley coming up at 8:20. Top of the hour, though, the Falcons. Never bury the lead. Falcons are always front and center on this radio station. What's next for the Atlanta Falcons? Trey Hendrickson, is he still out there? Falcons still interested in that, possibly. What else could possibly happen? Coming up next, Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 9 to 9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.